Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're doing most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. Just like in architecture, I can create all sorts of wonderful frills on a building, but there's certain structural aspects of that building that have to stay in place or it's going to fall over. Well, the same thing's happening in language.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of pronouns.
Language has two types of words in it. They have what are called open class words and closed class words, and they play different grammatical roles, structural roles in language. The open class words are things like nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. Okay. The closed class terms are functional terms in language that help to structure the way language works. And the three biggest classes of those are pronouns, prepositions, and articles. And we don't add those, despite the fact that we have created over the last 100 years millions of new verbs, adjectives, adverbs, and nouns. We still have the same set of pronouns. We still have the same set of prepositions. We still have the same couple of articles. That's it. And what I would say is, can it change? Yes, but it happens actually over generations. You know, basically all current speakers of English will have to die and be replaced by people who are being raised as native speakers of a language with these other pronouns in it. Right. And so this happens, right?
Sure it does.
And it happens when certain communicative elements no longer play a role. So, for example, English has lost its formal case, which we lost because we no longer felt the need to communicate and mark formality in every aspect of the discourse. There's a lot of discussion about exactly why that is. And depending on your theoretical bent as a linguist, you have different views of that. But I think psychologically, what you can think of is that in order for a grammar to get off the ground, there have to be certain constants in it that allow us to create footholds for the rest of language, that allow us to recognize when the next thing we just heard was an adjective or a noun or a verb.
These are reflections of how our brain works and how our brain thinks. Right. And how our brain makes sense of the world. And then that became instantiated in aspects of our language, not the other way around.
Yeah. It's important to understand the underlying psychology of the language. Right. Because I think that, you know, for people who are fighting for their place at the table, you can begin to think, well, if people aren't willing to do this for me, it's because they disrespect me. They would have done it for somebody else. And that's why I think the pronoun discussion actually matters here, because the natural thing to say is, well, we've changed the meanings of so many other words, so this seems like a small price to pay. And it would be if what we were asking was for a different use of nouns.
Yeah.
But because what people are asking for is a change in pronouns, and they are a closed class set of words, the psychology of that is completely different. And it has ramifications throughout language, because pronouns do all kinds of really interesting things. For example, there's this concept in a sentence of what's called anaphoric reference. Okay, an anaphor is the later use of a pronoun to refer to something you talked about earlier in a sentence. So you say, John went to the store and he bought 3 heads of lettuce. Who's that he? Right? Well, we all know intuitively that's obviously John. Well, how do we know that? Because our language system is remarkably good at automatically helping us to match up those later pronouns with their earlier reference. That is actually an incredibly complicated and sophisticated action that got taken completely without your awareness.
Yeah.
And so having a very small set of words that are allowed to do that is what allows you to do things like anaphoric reference so automatically. And if you were to add a new word, you would have to create a whole new set of practices to allow you to do that effortless reaching back into sentences and reaching back into discourse to understand the reference of things. And that's why language just says you can't add any more of those.
An aspect of what Art is talking about, it makes me think about what happens when you become an expert at something. And many people define experts in terms of how they can make otherwise difficult things seem easy. people who become experts at using their native language make it seem easy. And the things that Art are describing talk about an underlying structure that to an expert is no longer visible, if it ever was visible, right? So you think, well, why can't we just change that? Because using language is easy for me. I can just talk and I'll just start using a different word. And that's something that I think is an interesting aspect of all of our behavior, right? Is that we get really good at doing something and we think suddenly all of it is malleable. We can change any part of it because we're really good at it and it seems easy. Actually, it's not easy. And things that feel easy are often very complicated. And I don't think there's any better exemplar of that than language.
And so if you look at the things that are closed class words, they all have these special elements to them. So pronouns have this issue of being able to figure out what the right referent is. What prepositions do is that they break up the spatial world in all these interesting ways, in very complicated ways, which is one of the reasons why it's often so difficult to learn the prepositions of a new language that you're studying. You'll get everything else right. You'll still screw up the prepositions. And then, of course, you know, the articles are so important for helping us to understand number and to mark things as being nouns and or to mark something as the start of a noun phrase, which is important, right? Because of course, I could say, you know, the quick brown fox and I don't get to the noun for a few more words, but the alerts me that I got a noun coming. So these are playing really crucial roles for allowing us to do all of this stuff, as Bob was saying, expertly and automatically. And we're blissfully unaware of how complicated the mechanism was to allow us to do that.
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of understanding with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can listen back to this show, along with our entire archive, at KUT.org or subscribe to Two Guys on Your Head wherever you get your podcasts. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.